Thanks for listening to Resume on Podcast One.
If you want to make an entrance, bring the sabor with new Modelo Chelada Fresa Picante. A mouth-watering mix of authentic Mexican beer, bold strawberry flavor, and a hint of spice. With great taste bursting out of every can. So bring something sweet to your next barbecue or bring a little spice to Sunday's brunch. Bring refreshing strawberry flavor to any fiesta with new Modelo Chelada Fresa Picante. Bring the sabor. Drink responsibly. Modelo Chelada flavored beers. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Water Cooler. Oh, yes. The show where I, Chris Loxamana, hang out with my Corolla digital buds, drink some brews, and kick it hard. Yeah, you heard that. That was a brew that has just been cracked. Let me introduce everybody that's here, making his triumphant return. Which is pretty much every show I say that about him, but Caelan Bean's here.
What's going on?
You know what's going on is Insomniac here, though.
That's, yo.
Yeah, that's who I want to hear from. How are you, Caelan?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you.
You're pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah.
Pretty all right.
Pretty all right.
I like how that's become our thing.
Me too.
And Gary Smith's here.
Yo.
Yo, yo. And Matt Fondelier.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
So, Core 4.
Hey, brother.
No,
hey,
Dawson. Brother.
So what? Where is he?
I really don't know. It's now a coin flip if he comes in or not. And it really all just depends on if it's convenient for him. We got the Core 4, which I wrote down. C4.
C4.
Means
explosive.
That's good. We're explosive. Yeah.
I like that.
We're the bomb.
I don't like that part as much.
Oh.
No, we're the bomb.com.
Really. All right, fine.
Yeah. We are the bomb.
All reluctantly agree.
.com.
So, first off, I want to apologize to those listening that was expecting a water cooler episode last week. It didn't happen. I feel awful.
You had some stuff on your mind.
I had some stuff going on. It's all good now. We're back.
I want everyone to know that I sat here and I did an entire podcast by myself, but didn't turn the microphone on. But
yeah.
I scrambled. I tried.
You know, I was reading this band that I really like. They're called Wolfpack.
Like Wolfpack, but pronounced as though you're a German?
Like the German version. And they're from Michigan. They're really great musicians, but they released an album on Spotify of 12 silent tracks. Just 30 seconds. Some are 31 seconds, some are 32 seconds. It's called Sleepify. And what they wanted you to do, this is a few years ago, because you got royalties from getting streams on Spotify. Just play it
while you sleep.
While you sleep, and we get royalties. And they got enough to get a tour out of it. And then Spotify, took it down.
Amazing.
But they got the money.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
that's incredible.
Brilliant, brilliant marketing.
Yeah,
idea.
Way to use the technology to your to your advantage.
Did you stream it?
I didn't know. I didn't know about them back then.
Oh, okay.
But I would have.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I think Matt should do a whole series of podcasting of silence.
That's good.
Forgot to turn the mic on. But we know you're saying some good stuff. Do you remember any of it?
No.
Any of that nonsense you were rambling about?
It was around Thanksgiving time. I was probably still drunk.
That's true. Oh, you know, we haven't been back since Thanksgiving. I mean, we don't have to get into full Thanksgiving recaps. I hung out with Caelan for ours.
A little bit, yeah. You had a lot of Thanksgivings that you went to.
I went on tour, yeah. I
went to four, right?
Four.
Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah, you rolled up
Thank
to
you.
Mine already pretty full, but still pulled down a plate.
That you were number three. That was number three, and one and two.
You
breakfast,
did,
lunch,
you
dinner.
Did three in one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, three meals.
That's a goddamn... That's impressive.
That's a lot of eating, and I thought I could handle it.
What's breakfast like? Is it still like Thanksgiving food or breakfast food?
It's breakfast
or is it
foods.
Mixed?
It's breakfast food.
Oh,
it's carbs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Muffins, bagels, everything.
Omelet station?
And we didn't have an omelet station there. But yeah, Jen's family, they do a morning. One side of her family does mornings, which
I like that.
Which always you're always clear. So
yep,
everybody
I like
can
that
always
a lot.
Get to that.
Any turkey?
Yeah, there's definitely turkey at the dinner.
Okay.
Yeah, and I saw I had a ham for lunch.
I'd have turkey sausage at the breakfast just for the symbolism.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's
just
what I'm saying.
Just for the symbolism.
Yeah.
And because Joy only eats turkey sausage.
That too.
Well, that too.
That too.
So, yeah, let's see. There's been a lot going on. Kayla and I watched a movie together.
Yeah.
Are you going to flick that today?
I'm not going to flick that one today. I have a different one I'm going to flick.
Oh, okay. Well, we saw Knives Out.
Ooh.
Is your other one possibly an epic length movie that some people in this room haven't had time to watch yet?
No, okay. But you still haven't watched The Irishman? Is that what you're referring to?
I haven't gotten all the way through it. Unlike you, who's going to movies and shit, I'm not. I don't have time to do shit. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how you're getting away with this craziness. You're off seeing movies. Amy's going to Disneyland.
Amy's great at just wanting. She just says, watch whatever, and yeah. I'm down. So she, as long as she watches The Real Housewives on Tuesdays, she's pretty much down with watching anything I want to watch, which is great.
It is very telling that whenever anybody mentions The Irishman, I don't really hear much about performances and the script and the
it's a bit of a chore.
Yeah. I hear is it's long. And then I hear it's great. But everybody always starts it off with it's very long.
Well, anything over 3 hours, that's got to be the first thing you say about it, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Avengers, I remember.
Avengers doesn't count.
But we talked a lot about how long that movie was. When it came in at 3:01, everyone was like, holy shit, it's over 3 hours. It's going to be epic.
Yeah.
It was a lot more positive because it was the culmination of, what, 11 years that we'd all invested into it. But, like, anytime it's over 3 hours, whether good or bad, you're going to be commenting on the length.
Yeah. I agree. So I still have to check out The Irishman, but it really is the length is off-putting. Yeah. And Kayla,
it's good. It's a good movie.
But I did see that scene where
Robert De Niro
is kicking the guy.
Yeah, he looks
so like
old.
An old dude.
That's in the first.
Like a very
that's
old man.
Early in the movie, right?
Yeah,
fairly. Yeah, about half hour in.
I did catch that, and it did not make me want to watch this movie. But
that's kind of the only scene where you can really tell. There's a couple other times, but it's never as jarring again as that one.
And yeah. I'll say, I didn't hear Bald Brian's review. I didn't hear that was part of it until later. And when I watched the movie, without knowing that and without having heard anyone talk about it, I didn't notice it. It didn't stick out to me that much. So I wonder if it's because it's been pointed out that everyone's noticing it.
Yeah.
Kaelin.
Yeah.
Will you be flicking a totally random movie that none of us have heard about that
was
given to you?
I am.
Oh,
that
cool.
is what I'm going to be doing.
Matt, as if Matt knows what's going on.
I just figured you guys asked him. I had a perfectly valid question to ask as well.
That was spot on, Matt.
It just came to me.
Yeah, Matt always has that question chambered. He decided to bust it out today, mm-hmm. and it actually paid off. Yeah, as far as The Irishman goes, it's one of those movies that everybody I respect loves it.
Yeah.
So,
well, plus Scorsese's built up enough goodwill with me that I'll see pretty much anything he does.
Yeah, you guys are.
Did you watch his samurai movie that came out last year?
No, I'm not watching that dog shit.
What samurai movie?
With fucking
exactly
Spider-Man Kevin. Dude and Adam Driver. No, you don't know what
Andrew
it is?
Garfield?
Yeah, Andrew Garfield.
I don't even know what this is.
All right, well, Liam Neeson's in it.
If you say samurai, too. I'm pretty much in.
Yeah, don't get excited. Don't get excited.
Really?
I love samurai.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Part 3?
I haven't seen it. Oh. But now that they're samurai, samurai in it, I'm going to have to go check it out.
Plenty of samurai in TMNT 3. Stuck in Time, or I forget what it was.
Classic. The movie is called Silence, which is what the theater was probably like for all 2 hours and 41 minutes of it.
Just like Matt's podcast. Yeah, Matt did a whole review on it in his last
It actually was a screening of the movie.
So, big news. I guess
Knives Out is really good, by the way. Go see it.
Great. Well, that was awesome.
There you go.
I guess we're done today.
I wanted to get that back in.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
I did. I'm very fond of that movie.
All right, well, pretty big news.
What up, dude?
Lost its luster a little bit. Yeah, Kaelin's ran a pluggy through in the middle of my announcement. I, Chris Loxamana, am engaged.
Woo!
Yeah. To be married?
To be married, yes. I almost wrote that somewhere. Like, oh, engaged.
To be married.
In parentheses, to be married.
Congratulations. Well,
congratulations, dude.
Thank you. Yeah, I popped
How did
question.
She propose to you? Oh.
I popped the question.
Oh,
yeah.
You did? That was big of you.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to go the other way.
Me too. You know, and I waited long enough to where it almost went that way. Yeah, so I did it on December 7th.
A day
that lives in infamy, yes. So I've been meaning to do this for a while. I've actually been talking about it with all of you guys for
In fact, Kaylin, do you even know how cool Chris played it to you a couple days before he did it when you asked him what's going on this weekend?
No,
he'd
I didn't.
Already told me privately, like probably this weekend, and he was just like nothing, and you didn't think anything of it. But Chris had this little twinkle in his eye that was he was very proud of.
Yeah, I got in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah,
because you did.
I did. Yeah, because I have known for quite a while now that Chris got a ring and that he was planning to propose. And Chris's fiance is cousins with my girlfriend and their family. And I
so, of course, you kept that information very close to your vest. You didn't talk to your girlfriend about it.
She constantly asked when it was going to happen all the time.
He was being a bro.
I did.
So how'd you get in trouble?
Because
you got in trouble with your girlfriend.
Right. She was not happy that I did not tell. And then her mom was also not very happy.
Yeah.
I kept that from them, too.
So let me preface this with I've been wanting to do this for a while, and there's been a lot of different stipulations with how is I going to do it? What is it to do it these days to propose? I mean, everybody sees it online. There's all this social media presence. Some people get a photographer. Some people get videographers. Some people may do it in a public setting. Other people do it privately. Like, it's always different, but mainly I see a lot of people doing it with social media involved, kind of like the gender reveal parties and the whatever, the whatnot. It's like everybody kind of – so they can share the moment with their friends and family. And so I've been wrestling with this for a while because I didn't want to do that. I don't know. I just always thought it was cool to just do it privately, just make it your own and not have to worry about that. But – so I'm still I'm asking Gary and Matt for advice and Kaylin to keep his mouth shut. and you guys were very helpful with all of it and just telling me different things. Like Gary suggested, oh, maybe she gets her nails done because she's obviously going to want to show it off. And there's just a lot of different things going on with how was I going to do this. And eventually I just settled on Gary also implied – or he told me – he asked me, how many people have you told about this other than us? And I said, oh, well, I had to ask her father, who obviously told their family. I told my mom. I told Jen's best friend because I want to know what kind of ring she wants, and her friend would be able to help me out. And Gary, every person that I would name, Gary just looked at me and goes, that's a leak. That's a leak. That's a leak. You got to be careful. And it was he was totally right. By the way, a lot of the stuff that Gary would tell me, he was completely right. Because then Kaylin gives me a call and goes, my girlfriend is saying that you're going to propose, and she kind of knows about it, and I don't know what to do, what's happening, because I know you're going to do it, and I don't know what to ask. How does she know, Kaylin? What's going on? Well, her mom told her, like, dude, word's getting around. Like, it's spreading.
It went through the family quickly. That was a tough.
Who was the first one to tell? Who do you think?
I don't know. I don't want to blame anybody, especially on air.
All right, tell me off mic.
Get
you.
Yeah, but I got it.
Why don't you just write down?
God. Let me shut the fuck up. Yeah, everybody was just – and it's not like I was just telling people just to tell. It was legitimately I wanted advice from you guys, but I needed ring advice because I know nothing about rings. I know nothing about nothing.
Listen, if you're – yeah, I totally get it. I was the same way. And if you're a dude who's thinking about proposing and you've never done it before, which is I guess most dudes' scenarios, definitely ask a married friend because they will tell you shit that you will never think of.
Yeah.
A lot of the shit I told Chris wasn't necessarily shit that I knew in advance. It was like mistakes that I had made that I was trying to fix for him in advance.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean.
But you nailed it.
I nailed it. Yeah. So I'll just tell you how it went down. Then I'll kind of tell you some of the events that led up to it too. But so I decided to just do it, me and her.
Perfect.
Yeah. It was perfect. On one of the days, she's been wanting to decorate for Christmas for a long time, and we never really got to do that because I'm always so busy. She's always so busy, and this is the first year we actually had a day together in the beginning of December that we thought, oh my god, we should decorate for Christmas, and it's something she's always wanted to do.
Brand new place together.
Yeah, she's very excited. So let's do it then. And then I thought, oh, I will propose to her while we're doing that. So we decorate for Christmas. It's going great. And then we get a text like, hey, don't forget, it's Molly's first birthday. One of our friends has a first birthday party. And I thought, you gotta be kidding me. Oh my God, I have to go to birthday now. Like, it kind of ruins the rhythm of the entire day. But we end up going anyway. And actually was a great time. We saw all of our friends, and I just had to keep my cool because I didn't. But the whole time I'm sweating bullets. I mean, this is nerve wracking.
It's a long day.
Yeah, it's a
same
long
thing
day.
Happened to me. I had an unexpected event thrown at me morning of, and it threw me.
Yeah, like it's, oh man,
you don't need that.
But anyway, it goes great. We go back to the house. We finish decorating, and then. And then we turn off all the house lights, and just so all the Christmas lights that we put up go on, and it kind of sets a different ambiance. And then something I do a lot with Jen is I randomly slow dance with her. I just grab her and we just start slow dancing, either to silence and I just hum something stupid, but in this case I put on a song. And I had a playlist, so I put on two songs in a row. So one, I was going to slow dance with her to this one song. It's about 2.5 minutes. I timed it out, and I thought, okay, that song.
I thought you were about to say it was about 2.5 men, and I thought, oh, you're going to play a theme song?
Yeah. Very big movie in our relationship.
Yeah, it's short.
Yes.
It's a short.
And then the next song, I would do the deed. So, again, no, that's
wow.
Not the phrase.
Interesting.
Real quick.
That's, wow.
Things
that's one way to get a yes on the proposal.
Very quick.
Jesus.
I realized.
Where'd you put the ring?
Yeah, where
Chris?
Was the ring? Oh, my God. Guy's got a what turned out to be a sex mixtape.
Yeah. This is not the direction you guys were expecting. No, but I mean, I would ask during the second song. So we slow dance. And then the next song comes on. It's very romantic. It's going great. Man, I'm killing this. And oh, by the way,
Chris just hyping himself up. It's great.
Yeah, I'm.
You're gonna get proposed to so hard.
Yeah. She didn't stand a chance. I got the back. Trey Young. It's over. It's over.
Dunking on these fools.
And I have a ring box in my pocket, which, by the way, I'm nervous the entire time. I'm kind of angling myself because I feel like it's just sticking out. I remove everything else from my pocket because I don't want it to look weird. I'm a front wallet guy anyway, so it doesn't look insanely weird. And I got a pretty flat box.
Ring boxes are the wrong size.
They are.
I'm sorry. There should be a special kind of proposal ring box that is like thinner and more.
Yeah.
Just able to be concealed because it's always a surprise thing, and the boxes are fucking enormous.
Yeah, make them ring-shaped or make it okay that we can wrap it in foil or something just so it can be flat. I don't know. So
you're lucky enough to the airport.
Jesus.
So it can be flat in your pocket because, this thing is poking out, and I'm kind of angling myself.
Imagine presenting her with a giant foil ball.
So I'm angling myself every so often because I don't want her to see this bulge coming out from the side of my leg.
After do the deed, now it's all I can hear.
There's nothing. Why is everything a double entendre? Can I just say words and not have it have a sexual meaning?
No.
Yeah, you're right.
Not on this show.
Yeah, I know. I just see Matt's face and his eyebrows lift just a little bit. Like he,
I'm trying not to look at you. I'm trying to let you do your thing, man.
I can just see all the processing in Matt's face. Like, oh,
well, hey. You said you had a flat box. I mean, come on, dude.
Anyway, so we're slow dancing. And then after the song ends, I still kind of just I'm holding her in front of me. And in a joke, because our friends got engaged the week before, a little over a week before. And a story I always like hearing is, how did you ask the dad? How'd the guy ask the father? Because it's always awkward. It's always weird. Most of the time, it's like I never really spend one-on-one time with the dad anyway, so it's always weird to have to do that. And so my friend told me his story, and we were laughing about it. And then I remember when he told us that about 10 days ago, I looked at Jen and go, oh, people still have to ask the dad? Like, just I like freaking her out a little bit, and she looks at me and goes, "Yeah, that's totally tradition," and is almost appalled that I would even imply that I wouldn't ask the dad. And then every once in a while, I'll sprinkle it in, like, "Oh man, people still have to ask the dad. That's crazy." So, at the end of our slow dance, I do it again. I go, "Can you have to ask your dad?" And she looks at me. She doesn't even respond. She's like, "Stop!" And she like slaps my arm, like, "You're kidding, right?" And then I look at her and I go, "Cause I already did." And then the water, like, what? What? Like, her mouth is making noises, but it's not making any motion. So it's just like, and then I go, yeah, and I also talk to your brother and your mom. And I'm just I'm landed on real thick. And then I take the foil out of my pocket.
I'm trying, but it's disrespectful to look away from you.
All right. Wait, why? Wait, why are you looking?
I don't know. Laying it on real thick. Yeah, it's all I can hear. It's all I can hear. I'm sorry, Chris.
Yeah. So, I'm pounding her with all these. Stop. But I'm letting her know that her family and her family knows. I take out the ring. She's now. She's gone. She's out.
She left.
She's
checked out.
Yeah, it's just now. It's just a body with just making noise.
You actually could have started to like change what you were saying and start saying really dark, fucked up things to her, and she would just not understand that you were saying that.
I could have confessed to murder.
Exactly. You could have got away with anything.
Like, exactly right. But I take out the box. I'm holding it. I'm just holding it out, and she's not even looking. She just. Her eyes are just they fill. It's that thing where her eyes fill with tears from the bottom all the way to the top of the lid. It just like flows and then just starts streaming down her cheeks. And then I get down on one knee. I say her full name, and I go Jennifer Owen. That's her name. That's her full name. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it felt right to say her full name. Like your life's about to change. and I said, you remember how FDR said today would live in infamy? Well, it's about. To live in infamy for you.
I did not say that. Jesus Christ, dude.
Matt, this is Chuck. I said all the nice things, and then would you do me the honor of making me the happiest man in the world, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And before I could, before I said, I could say just the full, will you marry me? She already dove on me and just said yes, and like, yes, yes, yes. And then it's like, well, let me ask you first, geez. And then it all happens. It was such a powerful moment, though. Like I really felt it too. Like it was just nothing like I've ever experienced. And when I was in second grade, I'm going to bring this back a little bit. And you find out. I mean, you know, but people will talk like, oh, women have the children, and that they really bear kids. It's very painful. It's a very big experience that women have to have children. And in my brain in second grade, and I carried it with me for a long time, I go, well, men have to propose. So that's where God leveled it out. The playing field went even. No, I was in second grade. I was just looking. I always laugh about it, like how I thought that back in the day, and I would always joke about that with Jen, which usually never came with a nice response. It just
no way.
Yeah, I know. It was shocking.
The analogy that you have 100% of the power. If she ever wants to. Yeah, I'm surprised she didn't take kindly to that.
Yeah, it didn't. 100% the power.
I don't know. Like, if you guys were ever going to continue long term, that you basically are holding the keys to that.
No. It's more of, it was more of just women have to go through this painful experience, and men, to balance it out, have to go through what I thought would be a painful experience when I was a kid. Turns out it was still very, very big, very emotional, and it went great. And what I didn't expect was, so Jen wanted to surprise me to go to dinner that night. And
unrelated?
Yeah, well, she just worked Christmas checking, like, I want to take you to a place. Oh, where are you taking me? It's a surprise kind of thing. And in my head, I'm like, we're not going. Like, there's no way. And I was totally right, because what happened was the phone calls of having to tell your family and your friends and all that lasted for like 4 hours, it felt like. It felt where we didn't leave, and then we realized, oh my God, it's the end of the night and we're still telling people. And
did you get a phone call? Gary, did you get a phone call?
I did.
But Gary, did?
I specifically requested
I got
one in advance.
My girlfriend.
You also
through
got
my girlfriend.
A phone call.
Not directly.
Right,
not directly.
Right. Yeah. Interesting.
That's yeah. Butt hurt. Dawson was really stoked. He was really happy for me. not the only reason. I mean, I should have, and I'm sorry, Matt. I didn't give you phone call. Gary, the last thing he said to me before this event was, text me a photo, because he was really cheering me on. He was excited. He knew what was happening. So, I texted him a photo saying, "Look, I did it." Because, nice. You know, I was a big boy. I felt proud.
And you know what's really awesome is when you get married, you get to have sex finally.
I know. That's
come on.
Look, I have been practicing for this moment for a long time.
Yeah, buddy. Yes.
So anyway, so it's been going great. She's been looking at her ring. She loves the ring, which I do want to tell a story about the ring. But Gary actually likes a photo I took of Jen taking a photo of the ring.
That's yes.
Which I thought was...
I texted said photo to Chris with the words, I love you, because it was just such a Chris photo to take. Jen was taking a photo of the ring. He thought it was kind of funny, and he took that picture, and it was just perfect.
She's just standing in the middle of the street, like holding her phone out with her hand, because she's in shock. But I got her a really nice ring. She loves it. It was exactly what she wanted, because her friends told me like the style she likes and things like that. And now randomly I just get random photos of the ring. Just like it's a living, breathing thing. She's very excited. But so I, Chris Loxamon, am engaged.
Congratulations.
Woo!
How we did. Now
we're all very happy for you. What was the third song on the playlist?
It's called What They Mean by Donovan Woods. And it's the live version, just because one time Jen asked me, hey, any good songs that you like? And I said, oh, well, there's one that kind of reminds me of you. And I played it for her. And we were driving. She was actually driving. I was singing Shotgun. And I played for her. And she listens to it. And then she looks at me at around the third verse. And she's bawling. And I thought, oh, all right. Noted.
Yeah.
This has an emotional thing. Well,
very good call.
Yeah. So I decided to do that, because now I'm just going for this. Oh, when all of her friends are crying, they're coming over. They've been coming over every night. Her friends are just making house calls. I come home, there's a new friend at the house, hey, just wants to see the ring, and then they're crying. And so what I do now is I try to make them cry. It's like a game I play where I ignore the friend. I look at Jen. I just make deep eye contact with her, the big smile. Can you believe this? I can't believe it. And then I just wait for the friend to just start, ah! And then they start bawling, and it really is satisfying. So for anybody who wants to get engaged and make their friends cry, I highly, highly suggest it. Now, there's something I do want to talk about with the ring. Sorry, I know I'm making this all about me, but it was a big deal.
Yeah, we're happy to be here for you, man.
Yeah, but first off, let me talk about shaving your balls. So support from the water cooler comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Jingle balls from the window
to the wall.
Fellas, listen up. My pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. All right? You got to clean up down there. It gets a little crazy, but with a Lawnmower 2.0, makes trimming easy and fun. So these products smell. Also, speaking of sweaty, stinky balls, they have this thing called the Crop Reviver and the Crop Preserver. I love these names, which keeps your balls from sweating, smelling, sticking. So keeps it nice and fresh. They smell great. The manly scent's attractive and will help set the mood, if you know what I mean. So get 20% off plus free shipping with the code WATERCOOLER at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code WATERCOOLER at manscaped.com. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year. Thank you, Manscaped. All right. So as far as it goes with rings, I got pretty lucky. So, but I'm going to take you guys back a little bit. So I've been dating Jen for a long time. She was before we were officially boyfriend and girlfriend, she was always kind of my plus one at all the Corolla events. And I took her to the Paul Newman premiere, the Racing Life Paul Newman Adams documentary, and then the after party at the Roosevelt Hotel. You guys remember that?
Yeah, yep.
Weren't boyfriend and girlfriend at that point?
No, we weren't.
He claims they weren't. I don't know.
That's.
I think that might be what he believes. I've never gotten to question Jen about this. Yeah,
I believe
their like dates of when they were officially dating might not
are
be
off.
Yeah,
it might be
a little bit of an overlap.
Yeah. Continue your story, Chris.
Okay.
Sorry,
I'll clear this up.
You could make it all about you, but yeah. We're going to go ahead and dissect every line you say.
Okay,
that's the exchange that you make.
That's the deal. Okay, so we're at this premiere, and when it gets to the end of the night. And at the end of the after party, you know, there's still fans kind of hanging out and listeners of the show, and they're talking to us, and they're very nice. So there's this one guy I remember who's talking to me. He's kind of talking my ear off a little bit, just asking me about the show, and it's fine. I and by any means, if any listener wants to do that, please. I actually really enjoy it, and it's always fun being able to talk about something where we don't have to do any small talk. We can just get right into it. So he's talking to me about the show, and I look in the distance and at the other side of the room, and there's Jen, and she's kind of falling asleep. Now, she has this thing, which I do too, where when we drink, we just get tired, and we can just sleep anywhere. And so she's, I could see her kind of dozing off, and I thought, okay, it's time to go. We're done here. So I'm telling this guy still talking to me, like, hey, I'm sorry, I gotta get out of here. I gotta take her home. Really appreciate you listening. And he goes, oh, where are you going? Oh, you're gonna get her? Yeah, yeah. Who's that? Is that your girlfriend? Yeah, it's my girlfriend. And then I walk away and I go get Jen, and she wakes up. She's like, let's get like milkshakes, or we go to a diner like Norm's or something, and we just get milkshakes and like fries. And she's kind of shaking a little bit, like, hey, what's, like, she's nervous. And I go, what's going on with you? I could tell there's a weird energy here. And she goes, so I'm your girlfriend now? And that is when, and I thought, and I responded, well, yeah, we're kind of heading down that way. I mean, if you'd like to be, that'd be great. And that's literally the moment we became boyfriend, girlfriend, and exclusive. So now.
So she was fake sleeping?
Yeah. Yeah, she was fake sleeping. This was all
what
her
a
idea.
Sneaky monkey.
Now, fast forward to the 10-year anniversary at the Peterson Museum, which we had in March. And we're hanging out at the car show outside, and this guy walks up to me and goes, hey, man, you remember me?
Now that. If anyone wants to come up to any of us and talk to us about the show, by all means. We have some context. We know what we do for a living. All good. Please do it, especially at a Corolla event. But don't. Don't open with that.
Yeah, but he opened with it, but he saved himself, and he goes, because I'm the guy from the Paul Newman after party. Remember, you talked to me at the very end of the night. We talked for a while, and I'm looking at him like, oh my god, yes. If you don't, and he's like, yeah, that was fun, right? I was like, no, you don't understand. You remember how I left to get that girl? Oh yeah, your girlfriend. Yeah, well, she actually wasn't my girlfriend, and I'm still dating her. And I lay out the whole entire story. We're laughing about it. I'm doing this. His name is Anthony, and he goes, oh, that's awesome. Well, I make engagement rings for a living. And he just takes out his business card and he hands me his business card for his company, which is called Forever Faithful Diamonds. And I just held on to it since then. I was like, okay, well, that kind of – I kind of have to get it from this guy just because there's just some
– it's perfect.
It's just like meaningful.
I'm sort of feeling like the next step is you're going to tell us all that this guy's your best man. Like, he was involved with the engagement. He gave you the ring. I feel like now you may as well just ask him to give you away at this point.
I do have some bad news. He got a call on Saturday night.
That, knew it. That guy got a call,
he was
too.
Very happy for me. He came over. I made him cry. Yeah, we're very close now. But anyway, so, and he does this thing where he doesn't really work for a place. He has offices in Newport and L.A., but he comes to you. And so he came over to my warehouse, brought a bunch of diamonds over, and he taught me everything about rings, and it worked out very, very well. So anyway, it's just like a weird, weird story that this guy is the guy who made the rings. And just blows my mind. But he's a good guy, and I just want to give him a plug, Forever Faithful Diamonds.
Nice.
Yeah. Anthony. All right. Anyway, that was a lot.
You did it, buddy.
And I did it.
You finally did it.
Congratulations.
I feel
now comes a really stressful year of your life.
Is it? I thought I'd just kind of just, you know, wipe my hands and just kind of relax now.
I have a good question for you that will answer it. Do you have money?
No.
Yeah, you get ready.
Knock it. No. It can be fine.
Somehow,
and we all knew the answer to that. You didn't have to. You had to publicly ask me Chris, that. We all know,
Chris. Let me tell you, man.
We're all in this room.
I had the exact same experience. I have absolutely no money, and I cannot explain how the money came together. I really don't. It is like a magic thing. But I think you're going to have the same experience as long as you guys are kind of actively working on a goal together. When it comes to like making the wedding happen, I just feel like it will happen. But I'm telling you, dude, it is effing stressful. Man.
I know.
If you want it done properly, if you want to let somebody else take care of it, and you don't care how the day goes or whatever, by all means, it'll be a breeze. But if you like,
there are absolutely parts of it that are going to be stressful and unavoidable. But there are ways to mitigate it and make it as chill as possible. You have the perfect white fiance. I mean, she's a very easygoing girl in my experience, so I think you'll be okay on that front. You'll get through it, but just
I just need everybody to buy some Manscaped and kind of help us out here. Also, speaking of sponsors, ZipRecruiter. That's right. They also support the water cooler, so we should support them. That's right, ZipRecruiter. Let me tell you guys a story. Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner. She experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a new game artist to grow with her education tech company. But then she switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference. And you can too by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/interview. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. It's so easy. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/interview. That's ZipRecruiter.com/interview. ZipRecruiter, the best. All right. Kalen.
What's up?
So what are you... So anyway, we're done with the engagement talk. It really is just an amazing moment. I'm very, very happy. But don't worry, this isn't going to be the engagement podcast. I'm not going to bore everybody with any of the other stuff.
Each week, you can give us an update.
I know. Yeah, weekly engage update. Still engaged. Life is amazing.
Engagement watch.
Yeah.
Hashtag blessed.
Oh, I guess everybody does like engagement watch.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's interesting. What is your hashtag going to be? We gotta start working on that, guys. I say that next week, me, Matt, and Chris, and maybe Dawson, or Kalen and Dawson, I'll present possible hashtags for you guys.
Oh, there we go. We can present ones to you.
Yeah, it's like when you go cake tasting, which, by the way, I'm very excited for.
Oh, yeah.
And all the food tasting. I come here, and I taste all your hashtags.
I like this.
Yeah.
I like
hashtags.
I want to taste your hashtags. Ugh. Is that gross too?
Yes.
That's gross.
Yes.
Why is everything gross to you, Matt?
What part
it's the
of
way
the body
you say
could
it,
the
Chris.
Hashtag possibly be?
You could have said, do a little taste test of your hashtags. That would have been better. You're like, I want to taste your hashtags. Like, you say it creepy.
No, but it's like I want to taste your hotcakes. That's not creepy.
There's your hashtag right there. That's my pitch.
If you want to taste
your hotcakes.
Yeah, if you put a food... It's not, but that's okay. But if I say hashtags, it's weird.
Mm-hmm. Right. I still believe it's the inflection that you put into your voice when you say "taste your hashtags." Like, I don't know, it's weird.
All right, well, I would like to sample your hashtags. That better?
It's getting there.
Yes, but it was the same creepy voice. That's not, exactly what I'm talking about.
It's not the
verbiage,
Chris. It's the tone.
It's the
I get it. Yeah, that's right. All right, well, Kalen.
Yo.
I missed you. What's going on?
Oh, you know, nothing much. Hanging out, going to doctors.
Now, Kalen, you're getting pressure now to get engaged.
I am getting a little pressure.
Are you?
A little bit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I do.
Hold on.
That does cross my mind.
Everyone in this room saw that coming about 4 months ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. That's about the time. The baby was coming out, right?
Yeah. Come on. That's going to happen.
I do apologize to my my fellow bros if I pressured you. You know, because when Gary gets married or you get married, things like that, it always kind of pressures other guys. And I just realized I did that too. It's like a weird ripple effect. It's
just cycle.
I get it. Yeah. So I just want to say I'm sorry. All right. Go ahead, Kalen.
After he does a 40-minute detailed explanation, it'll make every girl swoon. Sorry, bro.
We're good now.
We're good.
He's set.
He barked. I barked.
All right.
Foil ball.
Day that will live in infamy.
So, movie review, is that?
Yes, is that what we're doing?
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, let's flick
I'll do that.
Flick it.
Unless you want to hear about doctor's appointments and getting blood drawn. It was very exciting.
Who just waved to us?
Yeah, who was that?
That's Sarah.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Yeah, so I was going, me and you went to go see Knives Out. And I was going to do my review on that movie.
Oh, I love that movie.
It was really good. It was really good. I highly recommend it. But then you sent me a screener and said, oh, somebody from this company sent us this movie and just wanted to know if you wanted to check it out. And I watched the trailer, and it was very intriguing. And I go, yeah, sure, I'll check it out and see what's doing here. It's called Midnight Family. It's a documentary. It's in theaters now. It's select theaters. It's a small amount. They kind of got the Lemleys going around in Los Angeles, whatever the equivalent of that to you there is. It follows a family in Mexico City that runs a private ambulance.
Okay.
And it has
like one singular ambulance?
Yes, one singular ambulance. It's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. I learned in the movie that the government operates fewer than 45 emergency ambulances for a population of 9 million people in Mexico City, which is crazy, jeez, which then spawned this like private ambulance business. And when I first saw the trailer for it, I was like, oh, this family got an ambulance and they're like wanting to help people because like that's what they just want to do. And, you know, they sometimes they can't pay. Somebody will get in a bad accident, take them to the hospital. They'll use all their gear and medication, whatever they can. And then they'll get there and the person will be like, sorry, I don't have any money.
I mean, this sounds like the new NBC sitcom next year, does it not?
Yeah.
One family, one ambulance, one hell of a job.
But yeah, no, it's not like that. It's all business, like with this family. Even like the main character, the kid who's like 17, at one point he's like, yeah, you know, it's kind of cool, like going to the gunshot wounds and people falling off buildings. Like, it's exciting. I was like, ooh, that's kind of strange.
That's very strange.
It's very strange.
Yeah, it's totally weird.
He does a little safe face afterwards. Like, obviously, I don't like people being hurt, but it's very exciting, people getting shot and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, it's crazy. He's 17. He's got a so I guess it is. It's one family, but they don't really – there's not really much backstory to them. It's really interesting movie. It's like whole cultural perspective that's just crazy. I mean – these ambulances get like the cops come up to them and just shake them down for money.
Oh, really?
Yeah, totally.
Well, it's Mexico. The cops come up to everyone.
Yeah,
but an ambulance, like they'll come up to you, and if you don't have the papers, they'll impound the ambulance. They make up like rules that, you know, if it's like more than 10 years old, you can't operate it. All the police officers, you got to bribe them, so they'll call your ambulance whenever they hear of, you know, somebody being hurt. They'll call them.
Okay.
And ambulances will like race each other to the scenes. There's like multiple scenes in which they're racing with other ambulances down the street, which I don't know.
It's like Nightcrawler. Remember how you have to be if you're trying to cover the news first, you have to be the first one.
Yeah, and like the kind of the main focus is this kid who's like 17 years old, who's you know, I couldn't imagine doing what he's doing at 17. He's got a brother that couldn't be older than 14. That's running around with them. There's a dad.
How trained are these kids, though?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if I'm lying there with a stab wound and a 14-year-old shows up in a fucking private ambulance, yeah, I don't know how good I'm feeling about that.
And yeah, the 17-year-old is the one that's driving the whole time. And the dad is kind of checked out. Like, it's like the 17-year-old kind of, like, runs the show, which is kind of weird. It's a very interesting movie, but they don't really get into the family or the family dynamic that much. There might be an uncle and another brother that is going around with them, or they might not be part of the family. They never really explain it. I wish, like, during the downtimes in between travels, they would have, like, interviewed the people and, like, got some backstory to their whole lives, but they don't. It's just, like, kind of gritty, just kind of starts one night and follows them for, like, a week, and then that's it. And this is something you could watch, too, Chris. It's not really gory. They
just gonna ask.
Yeah, they
not too scary. Chris is broken scared.
Yeah, they don't show any of the gory, gruesome stuff.
I don't like that voice.
Which is good. But yeah, it's a very interesting movie, and like culturally, I would recommend anybody go see it. But from a documentary standpoint, they definitely things that they could have done better. And
like what?
Like interviewed, like gotten a backstory. Like, where did they get this ambulance from? Like, how long have they been doing this? Like, there's two scenes where they're actually like in their house.
Oh.
And that's it. The rest of the time, they're just in the ambulance, and they talk to the 17-year-old a little bit. There's like three times where it's just him, and he says a couple lines, and that's it. But I wanted to know more about like the family. He's got like a girlfriend he talks to on the phone, and which is also creepy. One time, he's like, "Oh yeah, this girl like fell off a 4-story building. Isn't that crazy?" And he's like talking to his girlfriend about like how cool it was that he went to, and then she died, and he's all like kind of excited and telling her that, which is kind of creepy. But yeah, I was very confused. There's people that might be part of the family or they might not be part of the family that they just don't really ever say who they are.
So, but you...
Do you think the 100% is warranted?
Well, by the tomato meter algorithm, yes.
Okay.
In that...
You think it's a good movie?
It's flickable, which means that...
Oh!
It's flickable.
We are working on getting that added to the tomato meter, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So yeah, in terms of tomato, how they, you know, calculate is the movie thumbs up or thumbs down, and then it gets calculated between all the different reviews. So yeah, I would say it is thumbs up, but there's definitely some things they could have done a lot better, made it a lot less confusing. I'd give it a 6.1 out of 10.
Mm. Oh, all right.
That's still fresh. Yeah. All right, thank you.
Sounds good.
That would not be certified fresh.
So, and I apologize for my ignorance about this, but as far as ambulances go, they're all, for the most part, it's like even in America, just their own companies that just transfer to. They're not like they don't work at the hospital and come out like how I thought as a kid.
I think it's a little bit of both.
It's different both. Place to place, yeah.
Because like I always see ambulance.
Oh, with the
they're just missing letters, and I think this is way too casual for what you do.
Right, I agree. For anyone outside of California, it's like a the tech startup version of an ambulance, but their logo is like it's very clearly from Silicon Valley. They're spelling ambulance in a weird way with a Z at the end. Yeah, that thing always sketches me out.
Yeah, if one of those pulled up next to me, I don't know.
Yeah,
and sadly, I must also say goodbye. I got to run because Jen is watching Isla and. I got to take over. Yeah.
All right.
Go be a daddy.
Do you want to get a plug in real quick?
I want more people to be watching Watchmen on HBO.
I'm going
to
start.
I don't know why people aren't watching this.
Who's not watching that? Everybody's watching. I'm not watching it either. Nobody else is watching this, but I hear a lot of people are.
It's a really awesome show, especially if you're a fan of the graphic novel.
How are we doing in the season? I wanted it to build up so I could binge.
It was a great start and then kind of a lull in the middle, and then the second to last episode, which was on Sunday, was phenomenal.
So we got. One so left. A week one, from
one
Sunday.
Left. Yeah.
One left.
Yeah, okay. The season finale is on.
All right, I'll start.
Yeah. Okay, that's all right.
Bye, Galen.
Bye, Galen. Bye. Bye, Insomniac.
See you.
That's how Insomniac says bye?
Wow.
He's really bummed to leave home. Wow. See ya. Man, Dad's taking me home. Bye, guys.
I want Insomniac writing hashtags for Chris, too.
Yeah. Oh, could he?
Sure.
Yeah, I'd like to sample his hashtag. Better?
Not much.
Not
much.
All.
No.
No. 0% better.
All right, Matt, you have a post-it note. What's on your post-it note?
Yeah, bro. What do we got here?
Well, theoretically, there's a Shay if you guys want it.
Who doesn't want it?
I don't know. I want it.
I want it, too.
Okay, good.
Let's get into it.
Good.
Ooh. And we got the
it's a key three.
The aisles at Albertsons.
We got the chi three here.
So wait a minute. So C4, that's explosive. K3, isn't that like a mountain? Or that's K2?
K2.
K9 is a dog.
I'll leave if you want to be K2.
No,
no.
It needs to be the three of us.
Okay. We'll figure it out. We'll figure that out.
It's fine.
All right. But anyway, Matt has a post-it note with vigorous notes.
As always.
So why don't you get into it? But first, we must ask.
What's on the post-it?
Yeah.
Well, sorry. I'm clearing my throat a lot. I'm a little congested. So apologies for the last 45 minutes. I went to Disneyland last weekend.
Yeah.
Disneyland and California Adventure.
I'm aware of the place.
Which is...
magical.
A very magical place. A very expensive place.
Yes.
I was lucky enough to get a significantly large gift card to Disney for my birthday. So that's sort of what helped pay for the price of admission. And once you're in the park, then it's just like a day of bar hopping, essentially, mm-hmm. in terms of how much you end up spending.
Sure.
So in traditional Chez Fond du Lac fashion... Tried a lot of crazy foods because, you know, it's a theme park. They have typical theme park food, but at the holiday times, and I've talked about this in past years of Chez Fond du Lac around this time of year, the California Adventure does something that they call the Festival of Holidays, which is basically a giant food cart procession down the entire main road of that theme park. And each cart has, I don't know, 7 or 8 different offerings. Some of them are booze-related. Some of them are sweets. Some of them are salty snacks.
Yeah.
And you can just kind of buy items a la carte and just kind of build your own crazy menu throughout the day. And they still sell all the other crappy theme park food if you just want a burger or chicken sandwich or whatever. But we like to go a little fancy because why the hell not? But before I get into all that, I should also say that I went to the Star Wars land.
Oh, there's that's
that
right.
Whole the new like Star Wars
Galaxy's
zone.
Edge.
It was amazing.
Whoa.
And I'm not even like a big
really?
Star Wars person. I mean, I've seen all the movies, but that's essentially where I stop. I don't get into it really. But I was expecting some I don't really know how to describe it. Like when you go to Toontown, for example, the backdrop is just like a two-dimensional hillside. It kind of looks like almost like a giant painting.
Yeah.
And I kind of was expecting that, but they built a little Star Wars city full scale. And there are buildings in that part of the park that are taller than anything else in the Disney theme park, taller than the Matterhorn or the Disney castle. At least it felt that way,
wow.
perspective wise. And they just went, I mean, they obviously spent $1 billion. They had to. It was insane.
They went for it, yeah.
They really did. So one of the cool features of that area is the cantina. They have the bar there. And, exactly. And it's also sort of a historic thing because Walt Disney never wanted alcohol served in the theme park. And they always served it at California Adventure, but they never served it at Disneyland. And now with this bar – that's the first time Disneyland is selling alcohol. So there's only one bar in the entire park, and it was expectedly very busy.
Walt Disney.
I had this drink called the Fuzzy Tauntaun, which if you guys know, if you guys ever had a Fuzzy Navel before, that's another drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Checking your shirt.
Just check my belly button.
How dare you. It's basically like peach schnapps and orange juice. It's not a great drink. The cantina did not have like really smooth cocktails. Everything they had was just like crazy fruity alien themed cocktails.
Gary,
right?
You know the Tauntaun?
No.
In Empire Strikes Back, the very beginning, it is the animal that Luke Skywalker cuts and then sleeps inside of it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But okay.
So it's their take on the fuzzy navel. It's called the Fuzzy Tauntaun. So it's the peach vodka, peach schnapps, orange juice, tangerine juice, cane sugar, and then here's the crazy thing. There's this foam on top, and they call it buzz foam. And it basically looks like egg white, kind of, but it's a lot. It goes way up over the edge of the glass, like comically big, like a milkshake of buzz foam. And I looked this up later because when you put your mouth onto it, it makes your lips numb. And there's no other way to describe it than that your lips and the inside of your mouth starts buzzing like a numbing, vibrating feeling while you're drinking it. It is one of the most surreal, bizarre.
That's crazy.
I was like, I'm in an alien bar. I'm drinking an alien drink and my mouth is like melting right now. And I looked it up later and there is apparently the flower of this particular plant that's used as like a pain disinfectant kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And it has like this numbing quality to it.
Hmm.
They so do it, it was insane.
I've had it at the Cosmo, but you actually just eat the bud. They give you the bud of this flower.
Uh-huh.
And they give you a drink. This is the chandelier bar at the Cosmo. So you drink it, you sip it, and then you pop the bud and you chew it. And then when you drink your drink, it tastes like something totally different.
Really?
Because
that's
your mouth knows.
Pretty cool too. I would totally be down to try that. So anyway, it was very memorable drinking experience.
Buzz foam.
That tastes like the – by the way, when you were describing it, that tastes like it comes with diabetes. It sounds so sugary.
Very sweet, yeah.
One of the ingredients you said was pure cane sugar.
Correct.
Okay.
So I personally – you guys know I love like a Manhattan, and my favorite – one of my favorite bars in the world is in that Carthay Lounge.
Yeah,
that ring bar that's in the California Adventure. You've been there too.
Great.
Gary.
Absolutely.
Great drink.
Their Manhattan there is incredible. They do that cool glass sphere.
Yeah. Well, their ice is the clearest ice I've ever seen. And the way they do it is they have this huge ice block in the back that they just cut out of every single time. So it's like freshly cut.
Yeah.
Ice.
And ice. I really realized as we were sitting there, like that really is one of my favorite bars in the world. Like it's such a different atmosphere than the rest of the park, and you're always running around like a madman, but you get into this one just quiet, old school Hollywood kind of vibe. You get an old school cocktail.
Yeah.
It's incredible. All right, on to the food real quick before we get out of here. So, and these are all the fancy ones, but they're all amazingly good. Duck confit empanadas.
Sounds pretty good.
Right? Duck confit is when you fry duck in its own fat.
And it gets all stringy. It almost looks like pulled pork, kind of. But it's like really – well, I guess you can have it on – duck confit you can have on the bone. But when it's in the shape of an empanada, which is like a –
it's like carnitas?
Yeah. It's almost like duck carnitas. Yeah. Stuffed inside of a pastry. Also had this like jalapeno mint salsa.
I'm okay with that.
That was great. Now, we all recently experienced fried turkey.
Yes.
And one of the
things they had –
yeah. Big time. Thank you, Landon. Fried turkey slider.
Oh.
Fried turkey slider that had the coleslaw, cranberry sauce, which you guys know I like. It's good on the turkey. And it was on like a almost like a rosemary bun. It was really good, actually. Really thick. The good it was legit fried turkey.
But how was the turkey? It wasn't like fried bread and like a fried chicken sandwich, was it?
It kind of was, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it kind of was. You had the skin on there, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It worked.
All right.
Yeah, it definitely worked.
What was the bun made out of? Please tell me it's just a big piece of stuffing.
It was not. No, the bun was, like I said, it was almost like a rosemary bun. It was like an herb. Mm. You would think that the flavors would have not complemented each other, but it actually worked out. It was delish.
All right.
And then the last crazy thing we had, this one was really crazy. Pork al pastor naan taco.
Little fusion action.
Right? And
that
it had
delicious
pineapple pico de gallo
and
cilantro lime crema.
I would have absolutely ordered that.
Yes, please.
Tore that apart. It was fucking delicious. Naan. Very messy. Yeah, naan instead of a taco shell. Just that soft,
fucking
fluffy bread. But the best thing that I had, and this wasn't from any of the fancy carts, it was from a traditional theme park cart. It's a traditional theme park food, but it just hit the spot in the right way. I don't even know how to explain it. The churro. It came fresh out of, we had to wait like 2 minutes for them to kind of get it out of the fryer and to dust it up.
Hold on, I'm marking this time so Adam Carolla could listen to this and fire you.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is definitely true. Please don't tell him about it. I know churros are just donuts that came here legally. Thank you. What is that, Rep Richard Martin?
Yeah.
One of my favorite of his jokes. But nothing beats the theme park churro at, 11:30 at night when you've just been drinking.
Well, especially if you strategize or get lucky enough to get one that comes fresh out of the fryer like that.
Yeah.
That's really what makes it sing.
It was not sitting on the little hanging rack or anything. Yeah. It was fresh. Anyway, to cap it all up, last delicious drink. Again, it's part of their holiday season and the California Adventure. Warm bourbon cider.
I like that.
With a marshmallow on top that kind of was like melting
into
it.
Oh, marshmallow
my God,
on top.
It was amazing.
That'd be okay.
Dude, it was legit. Anyway,
I'm
really broke because we spent a lot of money on food and alcohol, but it was totally worth it. And that's what's on the menu.
Yes. I want to say that when we were decorating, when Jen and I'm going to bring it back to my engagement story.
Bring
it full circle. Jen and I actually got some hot cocoa while we were doing this, right? We get the hot chocolate, hot cocoa mix, and we get the little mini marshmallows, and we toss those in the top. I've never done that before. I didn't really know, so I just tossed like three of them. She's like, no, you got to
really go whole.
You got to go for it, because I guess they melt into the top.
Mm-hmm.
Made it very delightful. But here's the thing. It was so hot, and I was so nervous, I chugged mine. And she's like, wow, I can't even take a sip of it. And I'm just like chugging this thing. My whole mouth is blistered.
But because the marshmallow was just like keeping your lips from getting burned?
It burned. it all burned. But
I don't understand.
But I did enjoy the marshmallow part when I was doing that. That was the best part.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember, chugging hot chocolate.
Wow.
Well,
I hope you learned a valuable lesson. I'm still confused. Why did you chug it?
I was just nervous. Yeah, it was my nerves, and I was. It felt weird not doing it yet.
Oh, this so is before
like,
you.
Yeah, in anticipation of doing it while we were decorating, I'm just chugging this hot chocolate, and
it's forgivable.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a high stress environment. I did some dumb shit that day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do it for the water cooler. I want to thank everybody for listening, and I apologize for not being around last week, but don't you worry, we back now. Let's get our plugs in.
By Garrett. Now, he means next week, and then we're taking 2 weeks off.
That's true. Yeah.
Just to be clear.
Thank you. Yes, that is what's going to happen. We gotta get some time, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we do love doing this show, and we really appreciate everybody listening. All right, Gary, what's up with you?
Let's see. Check out Reasonable Doubt this week. We're having on a lawyer who recently got kicked off of a case with Allstate because he was telling their lawyers to eat a bowl of dicks.
Oh.
And that he wanted his money now, gay boys, and all kinds of ridiculous shit. And apparently Mark and his cohorts heard about this case and emailed him and said, do you want to come on the show? And he was like, yeah, absolutely. I just got dismissed. I can talk about it all I want. So that'll be on this Saturday's Reasonable Doubt. I'm certainly looking forward to
it.
That's
going to be amazing.
See, that's a plug. You hear that, Kalen? Yeah. Watchmen.
Jesus.
ReasonableDoubtPodcast.com this Saturday. Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
And there will be a whole normal length episode of current events, news stuff. I know we didn't get a lot of that last week because there was an issue with a food order. This week we will have the crazy lawyer and we will have a normal episode of Reasonable Doubt, current events. So check that shit out. It's a good show.
All right.
Nice.
Fumble easy.
You follow me on Twitter at Matt Fondelier, and then I'm excited about the latest episode of Sword and Scale Rewind.
Me too.
Get this for people who haven't been keeping track. About 3 years ago, I started doing a show called Sword and Scale Rewind, where we talked about this true crime show called Sword and Scale.
Yes.
Been doing that show for like 3 years. Then, like 8 months ago, I submitted an episode of the show, like the main show, and they took it. Those fools, they took my story.
Yeah, suckers.
And they produced it, and it came out.
When did Adnan Syed kill that chick?
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that part.
Oh, sorry.
So then that was about, I don't know, maybe 4 months ago, my actual episode of Sword and Scale came out.
Yeah.
And now, this week, the Sword and Scale Rewind, the show I've been doing for 3 years, we are now covering the episode of the show that I wrote.
Whoa.
So it's my
world's
mind
colliding.
Is blown. I can't even believe it. It's one of the most surreal type experiences I've ever had. So it's called Sword and Scale Rewind. But you should probably listen to the actual episode first. So Sword and Scale.
Yeah.
I think it's episode 139 of both shows.
I think.
Yeah.
I know.
I love how you just casually. I'm pretty sure.
Throw
that
in there.
You know,
yeah, it's very specific number.
139, you know.
Definitely check that out. It's where Gary and I are starting a new podcast, Sword and Scale Rewind Rewind.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's going to be.
You guys are going to have a different name. Stephanie and I have already pitched that show.
Dang it.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Ah, well.
You guys could use Sword and Scale Rewind Rewind Fast Forward. See what I did there?
Mm. No. If we don't get the name.
I'm not loving it.
I just
canceled up for the show, Gary.
I don't think I can do it anymore.
We've already
not with a title like
we've
that.
Already banked 10 episodes. What are we going to do with all that content? Oh, well, I guess nobody will get to hear it. As for me.
But stream it on Spotify while you're asleep.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, that's check good. Out the band Wolfpack. They're very
that's
good.
That's a good plug.
Very, very good.
How do you spell that? Because I wouldn't know.
Wolfpack.
Yeah.
All right.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, yeah. I like it.
They're great. And there's this guy in the band named Theo Katzman who wrote a record called Heartbreak Hits, which is very good. And he just came out with an EP. Called I think it's called Modern Johnny. So there's some music for you.
All right.
Great musicians, top notch stuff.
I know you're trying to wrap it up, but I just had this thought. I need to get it out. I know Kalen's not here, but I'm thinking about the documentary that he talked about. What if the five of us all pitch in and we start our own ambulance company, water cooler ambulance company?
Can you imagine? There's a guy with a wound. He just got stabbed, and we roll up.
Yeah.
What? What would happen?
What's on the menu?
Yeah.
I'll keep him entertained.
Yeah.
Dawson can smoke him out.
Yeah, Dawson can drive and smoke a cigarette while the guy is being tended to. Kalen can rate his injuries. Flickable or unflickable.
Yeah, Kalen just looks at him, unflickable.
And the guy's like, did you even bring bandages?
Yeah. Chris will be playing a song.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You can guide him to heaven's gates.
Oh my god,
Matt! We're the worst ambulance company in the world.
We should really work out our business plan. We'll get into it.
I had to throw it out there. We can workshop it.
Let's table this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so yeah, be on the lookout for our new ambulance company, and we hope you have a wonderful rest of your week/weekend. All right. We'll see you next week, though.
If you want to make an entrance, bring the sabor with new Modelo Chelada Fresa Picante. A mouth-watering mix of authentic Mexican beer, bold strawberry flavor, and a hint of spice. With great taste bursting out of every can. So bring something sweet to your next barbecue or bring a little spice to Sunday's brunch. Bring refreshing strawberry flavor to any fiesta with new Modelo Chelada Fresa Picante. Bring the sabor. Drink responsibly. Modelo Chelada flavored beers. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.